This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin hour number two. It is VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross here in downtown Las Vegas. Circus Sports, our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home. No dome yet in Cleveland, Ohio, but it's coming, Jensen. By the way, are you, and I saw some people because I was kidding about with Jeff Schwartz, if you watched hour number one. By the way, if you missed any of our program, you can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. So each hour will be available to you as a VSiN Pro subscriber as well. We're talking about it with Jeff, how he's just anti-dome. And I get it as a former player, right? And very quickly, Jensen, when I was in D.C. and Joe Gibbs came back, 2.0 as we called it then, Joe Gibbs, the return of the king in D.C., they asked Joe back then, this is the mid-2000s, about even for a bubble, for a practice facility. Back then, the Redskins infamously practice outdoors. Everybody else has had these indoor facilities. And he said, no dome. Never no dome. Like, Joe Gibbs was one of those guys that believed that you coached in the elements that you played in, and that made them better. Once Joe Gibbs retired, what'd they do? They got a dome. It is amazing the mentality of certain coaches and players versus some other organizations. Not saying they're right or wrong. They're just different. So I understand that mentality. I wonder how that's going to change for Cleveland. Like, Jensen, I wonder if the way the fans are in Cleveland, that it's like a rite of passage to go out there in the cold weather, and now are they going to just get used to that air-conditioned dome in 4 years?
Oh, there's already uproar. There's already people that are like, this is not real football. How dare you? And you're going to have those diehards that, you know, the municipal stadium. Again, I was baptized into the old stadium there, 82,000 strong. And that's how I grew up. That's what I remember watching Bernie Kosar do his thing. Eric Metcalf, you know, returning punts for touchdowns. So there will be some nostalgia, you know, fans for sure. And then there will be the new wave of, you know, paying exorbitant prices to have sushi, you know, at football games. So it is what it is, man. It's
times
the world
changing.
We live in now. Yep,
that's it. By the way, 1994, brother, I was there to watch the Browns. I was with a bunch of Steeler fans. We watched Vinny Testaverde quarterback the Browns. Eric Metcalf was in that backfield, and we were drinking IC lights from the Steeler Nation there in Cleveland. What a fun atmosphere. The dog pound, there was some barking going on back and forth. I'll miss those days too for those Clevelanders that enjoyed the outdoors. But let's get to it. Hour number two, highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
First in the NBA in a rough, I'd say 24 hours, really rough hour for Giannis Antetokounmpo. He was in a reflective mood about winning a championship. Maybe he knew what was coming, and that is Dame Lillard released by the team. And then you're going, well, what's this, what does this mean for Giannis? And this is after they get Miles Turner in free agency, and then it wraps up the day with Gary Harris. All this in about a span of 67 minutes, Jensen. So you and I were talking even off camera too. You know, I wonder if you're the Bucks, if you really believe that Giannis, hang in there with us. I know it was a rough day for you, but we're going to make this right. If that conversation, do you think it's already been had? And if it hasn't been had and you're Giannis, are you calling your agent like, get me out of Milwaukee?
It better have transpired when the news broke. And I'm sure that an initial conversation was had with letting Giannis know, hey, this is the way we're going.
This is what's happening.
And we've got to do this now so that we can kind of set things up. We'll touch base again with you. We got to get through a couple of things.
Mm.
That being said, though, buddy, and this is why I put out the GIF of Shannon Sharp, you know, and said live look at Craig at Red Sox, you know,
so good.
Chief Baseball Officer Craig Breslow, just like, he's a star player. Upset?
This?
Oh, yeah.
Seen this?
Okay. You know?
By the way, excellent gifing. I'm a sucker for a good gif. That one made me chuckle very much so. So, yeah, we'll figure out what the Bucks are going to look like. 13-1 to win the East right now. I asked you in hour number one, that's not a playable number for you until you know what the direction is, right?
Yeah. I just feel that very much like the American League in baseball this year, I think the Eastern Conference in the NBA, as of right now, if you're jumping in on anything, it's pretty wide open, Dave.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty wide open. We're looking at potentially Mike Brown having a second interview with the New York. I mean, what are we doing? If that doesn't tell you how kind of like open it is for the taking, I don't know what is, man. But hey, you know, to teach their own. I just, to me, if I'm putting hard-earned dollars down right now, I'm going elsewhere than Milwaukee.
All right, so while we don't know what's happening in Milwaukee, we do know what's happening with the reigning defendings now in Oklahoma City. They have re-upped their boy, and their guy is not leaving Oklahoma City. SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, is now the highest annual salary right now in NBA history after signing a four-year, $280 million Supermax extension. So SGA is not going anywhere. That next contract is going to won't even take place and start until 2027-28. So theoretically, Jensen, he's going to be in a uniform there in OKC until 2030 and 31. So, and by the way, that last year, he'll be making $73 million with this current deal. So while Giannis is probably looking for answers, I think SGA is very happy, at least where he is and where he sits with the reigning champs.
Yeah, I would agree. And you kind of, I just wanted to see with the cap here, if you look at what they have from a long-term standpoint, under contract for not this coming season, but the next year. So starting to look at, can this dynasty last? Your cap hit for SGA in the 26-27 season is $40 million. They would have a club option on Isaiah Hartenstein for 28.5. They have Alex Caruso under contract for the next 2 years. Dort would have an $18.2 million club option. Ooh. Isaiah Joe is under contract for $11 million. Aaron Wiggins for a little over $9 million. And then they have some club options for a Cason Wallace. Jalen Williams, I think, would be right around $7.7 million. So they're going to have flexibility. And I think, again, this all comes down to you better get it right for $71 million average annual value, because as I said, and I'll say it again, I still think Nikola Jokic, dollar for dollar, the most affordable superstar with what he brings you. And I still think Denver is a better team than Oklahoma City for these next couple of years.
I will say this, Sam Presti, this is the model, right? This is taking care of your own as they've just taken care of SGA. And they're going to be like, we don't have to go crazy in free agency because we're good with what we have. And we just won the title. I'm with you, though. I do think Denver got better, certainly in free agency yesterday. Boy, we talked a lot about this in Wimbledon, certainly in our conversations with Danny Kloppinger and Gil Alexander right here in the program yesterday. It was great having Gil in studio. Both said that Madison Keys were their picks as the best shot for an American woman to have a shot to win Wimbledon. Well, pretty good picks there, because we know that number two in the world, Coco Gauff, she gone. Eliminated in the very first round by Diana Yastremska in straight sets, no less. So Coco, a quick trip to grass courts. She's just the third woman in the open era to lose in the first round of Wimbledon after winning the French Open. Boy, does that feel like a long time ago already. Another American woman that we had high hopes for, Jessica Pegula, the third seed in the tournament. She also lost in her first round matchup. So Jensen, I always talk about it as a, you know, old tennis player, and certainly as an old American tennis fan, always looking for our American women. Coco, she's gone, and Pegula, she's gone. So it might be Madison Keys or bust going forward here for good old US of A.
Yeah, and a credit to Danny was spot on about the fate of Coco, right? Just coming off the French Open and the world tour, you know, the media buzz and doing all those things. Not to say not as focused, but certainly you didn't have the amount of time and preparation available to you to be able to be ready for Wimbledon. So great job by both Danny and Gil right on our program too yesterday, saying it's Madison Keys. You better shop and get the better number. And boy, it's plummeted since yesterday. Today's price, much different than yesterday's price for sure.
She is now, Madison Keys is the sixth betting choice to win at 15-1. So that number getting shorter and shorter here on Keys. And again, the American women are starting to exit stage left, if you will, a little bit sooner than we want over there at the All England Club. By the way, there is a great deal right now if you want to come out to Circa here in Las Vegas. It's an all-in summer package here. It's just $400. And what do you get for $400? And again, I've said this to not just family and friends, but anybody that will listen. It's a great deal. A two-night stay here at Circa, which in and of itself, you'd say, well, that's worth it. Plus, you're going to get $100 dining credit, $100 beverage credit, your very own day bed at Stadium Swim. That's where the party never stops, as you well know, Jensen. And again, this is all that two nights inclusive, $400, and resort fees and taxes are also included in that deal. And I know that's been a point of contention for a lot of people coming into Vegas. So it's as good a deal as you're going to get. It's not going to last forever. So take note of that. It's going to run through September 4th. It's up right now. It's been up. So do not miss out. Lock in on your all-in summer package now at CircleLasVegas.com. When you came out here to Circle, we had a great time when you were out here and we watched a little hockey and everything that was going on at the time. But, Jensen, it got a little bit loud, right? Are you to the age now, like me, that you need to maybe a buffer from all the oomphs going on at Stadium Swim?
I don't need it if, you know, we're not waking up at 3
to do the show in the middle of the night.
To do the show, yeah. No, we're, trust me, we can still hoot with the owls when we need to. So if anyone wants to spot us, say, Friday off day, listen, we'll bring our lunch, our dinner, and some overnight snacks, man. We'll be ready to rock.
I like the way you think. Game on. We'll do that one time when we don't have to wake up bright and early to do this show. When we come back, very interesting quotes from what's going on in Buckeye Nation. I know that you've got a pulse of what's going on with the great Ohio State, the reigning defendings, but they didn't beat Michigan last year. I know, you win the national championship. That's got to be good enough. Is it good enough? We'll discuss and see what their numbers look like this year. That's next year, VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here. We're going to have Ryan Spielborgs join us at the top of hour number three. Does a great job now. Former player now in the booth for the Colorado Rockies. Adam Burke's going to join us in hour number three as well, our managing editor here at the network. The NFL betting guide is out. Rejoice. If you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, I know you've already probably been combing through it like we have. And, of course, Wednesdays with Wes. Wes Reynolds is going to join us here in advance of what's going to happen at the John Deere Classic in Illinois and maybe some angles there. And we'll see if Wes agrees with some of our angles on that front. But to the victor go the spoils. And right now, the Ohio State University is the top dog. So they run the gamut in the playoff last year. They win the national championship. I mean, there was talk that Ryan Day could have lost his job had they lost in the first round of Tennessee. Jensen, you know all this being in your neck of the woods there in Cleveland, Ohio. So before we get to some of these very interesting numbers and what's happened, I think we'd still be remiss if I just didn't ask you the precursory question, which is winning the national championship. Did that suffice for losing to Michigan yet again?
So you obviously are judged as an Ohio State coach first and foremost on what you do against that team up north. Ryan Day, it has been well documented that the struggles, even putting together a $20+ million NIL roster last year, still could not do it. But why do we play the game? Dave, we play it to get to the mountaintop, which is to win in college football a national championship. In the NFL, it's to win the Super Bowl. You know, the rivalry games are what they are because the fan bases and it makes the sport even better, and it creates such an awesome following in a lot of different parts of the country. Again, I despise Michigan as an Ohio State fan. But at the same time, I am in this thing as a fan to hoist the national championship trophy. And that's what Ohio State did. I'm with Jeremiah Smith and the rest of his contingent about I share the disdain. I want to beat them every single year. And that to me is one of the highlights. But it's not a bigger highlight than hoisting the national championship trophy.
And here's the quote that you're alluding to from their very talented young whiteout, Jeremiah Smith, who sat down with Manny Navarro of The Athletic and said this, and I quote, "I just hate them. just something about them. For the next 2 years, I promise you, I will not lose to them. I can't lose to them in the next 2 years. Now, there's a couple of takeaways here from this. One, have we just locked up Jeremiah Smith for Buckeye Nation for the next 2 years? He's not going to go early. Jets, like, is that what we're are we hearing that from Jeremiah Smith? Because he could be a top five pick if he wants to come out as talented as he appears to be right now at the wide receiver position. Is that your first takeaway from that quote?
My first takeaway is that he's heavily invested, which we knew that he would be. I just happened to pick up his Heisman Trophy numbers here. He's 12-1. He's the fourth betting choice behind three quarterbacks in Cade Klubnik, Garrett Nussmeier, and Arch Manning. Maybe you go that route a little bit more, and if you feel that that's the way to go, that would be awesome. I obviously, with him being a freshman, he's got to stay, and Brandon Valesky, 100% correct. He's got to be here for at least two more years. But I think it's the manner in which he is invested for that. Like, this is as big a goal as going back and winning the national title. So overall, Ohio State should be there, barring something unforeseen. Very excited for this opening game, and it is still a travesty, Dave, as you and I well know, that that game is kicking at noon.
Yes.
And not at prime time. In a Lewis Ross administration, that game is ticketed for a 7:30 Eastern time kickoff, and there is no questions about that. But I am very intrigued on Jeremiah Smith this year about what that means, and the trigger man, too. Listen, you got to get in the ball. And we know there were times last year, Dave,
that
where
was an issue.
Buckeye Nation was like, what are we doing? He's our best player. Why does he not have the football? Hello, this is not rocket science. So, yeah, excited to see what he does this year.
I will say this. I forgot he did not play like a freshman. I forgot he was a freshman last year. I thought he was a sophomore. So, really, the news would be if he is leaving after 2 years, he would be leaving early technically there. That's how great his freshman year was, right? Just at the end of the year, you went, well, this isn't a freshman. This can't be some kid that's never played at this level. Oh, no. He, in fact, was. So, I sit corrected here on that. It is amazing the talent that he shows. So, he's going to be there for the next two. And again, when you've lost 4 years in a row to your arch rival, and he has not been a part of those, he's only been a part of one, but then you win the national championship in his first year as a freshman, I guess that's got to be the consolation prize here. But yeah, there's no way, right, that if they lose 5 years in a row to Michigan, that we go back to the conversations we were having about Ryan Day before the playoff. Because again, we had him with Adam Burke right here in the network last year, who's also a big Buckeye backer too. And Adam was very open about that, that had they not won the national championship, I'm not saying he would have been gone, Jensen, because it's weird now to kind of look at it through that lens. But I do think that was a real possibility. Had they certainly if they'd gone into the first round of Tennessee at home, he would have been gone, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And again, this is a fan base here that certainly has a contingent that have a different mindset of what a successful season is. And you're not convincing them otherwise, Dave.
Right.
But we are in the business here. When you sign up and you get ready to take the field, it's about winning national championships. That is what you should be remembered for. Yes, the rivalry is what it is. But we play to win the games, and we play to win the biggest game. And then that is for the national championship.
To win the conference, by the way, for Ohio State, and win the Big Ten championship, if you will, is plus $1.95. Now, that I would think that would be good enough coming off of a national championship year. I guess my expectations might be lower than they are in Columbus and Buckeye Nation. What do you think those expectation levels? Yes, I know they want to win it and go back-to-back, Jensen. Of course they do. But what do you think would be acceptable if you said right now for Buckeye Nation, is it to hit that over 11 wins, which, by the way, you can get plus money, plus $1.20 when you look at their schedule. Is it that they have to win the Big Ten championship? We think, theoretically, barring a disaster, this is at least a college football playoff participant 2 years in a row.
Yeah, and if you think they go undefeated, I don't think they do. You just roll the money lines, because at 4-1, right now, I think they're just $1.42 favorite on the money line, as I'm seeing here. At home against Texas, that spread is at 3. Get back, defend your title. that's a dynasty, Dave, is winning national titles. It would be a great 30 for 30 if Ryan Day, in his tenure of winning the national title, never beats Michigan. How hysterical would the comparisons be to Urban Meyer of, okay, well, you know, who's the better coach or whatever? If you win multiple national championships,
sure,
does it really matter? And again, I know I speak from this being born and raised here, and it would be sacrilegious to say, well, how can you say that not beating Michigan is okay? Well, the byproduct of that would have to be you win the national title. So that, I think, is I think they have to get back to the semifinals, Dave. I think for it to be a successful season, knowing you're changing the quarterback, you're still bringing back as impressive a weaponry as there is.
Yeah.
But you're still replacing some very key guys. And so I think getting back to the college football semifinals in the playoff would be a successful season at minimum.
When you look at the schedule, and obviously it's 12 games up there, right? And now I'm seeing with that win total being at 10.5. And I'm looking at that and I go, wait a minute. You can only lose one. That's all you can drop, Jensen, in order to hit that, right? So, again, the big games on the board there, August 30th, as you mentioned, against Texas to begin the year. If they trip up there, you got to run the table. Now, you do get Penn State at home November 1st, and you do have to go to the Big House to end the year here against Michigan, as we talked about, on November 29th. Again, you would think theoretically they'd still be maybe at least a small favorite even on the road there. But there's not another game that they're going to be in. They're going to be favored in every single game, right? The entire season, barring injury?
I would think, yeah. And, yeah, they would have to be favored. I mean, the way they've handled Penn State, I can't imagine that they wouldn't be a favorite there.
Right? If you only see one slip-up, ironically, would it be either the first game or the last game of the year with the history of Michigan, obviously, four in a row, and or Texas in week one?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they'd be favored. Yeah, I would be hard-pressed to see them not favored in every game. Totally agree.
So there it is. You want to play the over. You beat Texas on week one. You would feel pretty good about that, possibly being undefeated before you go to the Big House to close out that year. By the way, you've got two of the largest football contests in the world right behind me here at Circa here in Las Vegas. Of course, those are two of the bigger ones. There's also the Grandissimo, which they're getting some people to sign up for that. Westgate's also got a super conference going on, which is a super contest, rather, which is also very, very popular in town. If you need a proxy service, we've got you covered there as well. So trusted by thousands of players over the last 9 years, Winner's Circle Proxy Service helped clients win over $9.3 million last two seasons. So go to winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN.
You're tuned in to VSIN by the Books right here on VSIN.
We are back. VSiN by the Books, Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here on Getaway Day, as we like to say in Major League Baseball on a Wednesday. I got one question for you before we get to a Whiff Wednesday today. You know, I'm watching up down the East Coast yesterday, and look, I'm no weather guy. I worked in local news for a long, long time. I used to always kid our fine weather people that I felt like I could do their job very easily. You say there's an Alberta Clipper coming down from Canada, and it's going to rain. But, you know, you saw that it got rained out in D.C., it gets rained out in the city of brotherly shove, right? We get rain that's all up and down the East Coast. And yet Boston decided, you know what, Jensen, let's push through this thing. Let's go. And of course they didn't get it pushed through. It's 2-1. They get it suspended, I think, in the third inning. Like, as players, do you guys go, why are we starting this game when you know the rains are coming?
I would say, and I hate to do this to our fine people here in Cleveland, I don't know what radar they look at, but we have had more delays in potential postponements without one drop of precipitation coming on the ground. If you ever hear we got a window, just pack it up and just be ready to go home and watch. They don't know. They got about as good a chance as you do about predicting the weather. It is ridiculous. So I don't even listen to those people anymore. It's pretty crazy though. Some gamesmanship, Dave, when you get later in the year, and there are teams that want to get it started, so you burn a starting pitcher
right. That
you know you probably aren't going to beat. There, trust me, that has happened, and that continues to happen. So when you see some of these, you're like, wait a minute, why did we even start this? look who the starting pitcher is sometimes. There's a little method to the madness.
And because of that, we're going to have a lot of double dips today because of the weather yesterday, and they're going to get that game going again, restarted the suspended game in Boston before game two against the Reds. But that does bring us to Whiff Wednesday. And something that you and I talked about last week here with Clayton Kershaw and the Hall of Famer-to-be, what do you have for Clayton today?
All right, so today we would anticipate is the day, Dave. We highlighted it last week that in Colorado, he gave us a little flutter there with some early punch outs. Like, maybe he's going to get it. He needed eight. But now he just is three away from being welcomed into the 3,000 club. So DraftKings, some fun little props if you're interested. The speed of the third strikeout pitch. Over under 87.5. So basically, if you're scoring at home, will it be a fastball or not? And that's why his primary out pitch throughout his career, the slider and also the curveball, would be under 87.55 miles an hour. So that's why it's a $6 favorite. The strikeout type is the one that is quite intriguing to me. If someone gets fooled by the breaking ball, that called strike three.
Ooh.
At plus 225, kind of the other would be the pitch clock violation, the drop third, if you will. That's your 19-1 if you want to sprinkle on that. So
let's pray that it's not a clock violation. Could you imagine, Jensen? Yeah. That's for the history books, the highlight we get to see forever.
But that would be that. It would be one for the books, no question about it.
Would you look at the called at plus 225 because blue behind the plate would like to be maybe part of history, right? A little punch out and a classic big curveball that buckles the knees a little bit, whether it's borderline or not. Let's go ahead and get that punchy and get number 3,000.
And again, if you're every hitter's going to know once he gets the first two that they're in harm's way here. So the strike zone could get a little bit larger. Be ready to swing, man, because, there's going to be a lot of history. A lot of people there at Chavez Ravine to see history made tonight.
And I think perfect opponent, White Sox. Sorry, Chicago, but perfect opponent, you would think, for Kershaw to make sure that gets done today. We always talk about fake aces. What do you have today on Whiff Wednesday?
Yeah, we got some smoking aces. Shout out Jeremy Piven, huge friend of our show. One of his iconic roles in that movie, sans Ari Gold. But today it's all about the pitching. It is Whiff Wednesday. And some really good ones. You mentioned a handful of rainouts yesterday, pushing some guys back. And that's really where you're looking at from a matchup standpoint. So a couple early gems here. Ryan Pepiot will look to get the Rays back on track after they fall to the Athletics in extra innings yesterday. Sonny Gray is going to have to try and derail the all of a sudden.
How about that?
Screaming hot Pittsburgh Pirates. Mackenzie Gore will start the nightcap, the day-night double dip in our nation's capital against the Tigers. I say Kikuchi, the Angels, late winners against the Braves yesterday. A battle of aces, real-time aces. Tanner Bibee, Shota Imanaga at Wrigley Field tonight. Hunter Brown in Colorado to take on the Rockies. And Logan Gilbert against the Royals. Here's how we're going. Ryan Pepiot, five or more strikeouts, parlayed with Sonny Gray under 1.5 earned runs. That's at plus money, okay, people? The under 1.5. That parlay plus $1.82. A little more conservative here. Mackenzie Gore and Yusei Kikuchi to have five or more strikeouts each. That's $1.64. And Dave, Tanner Bibee, six or more punchouts parlayed with Logan Gilbert to have six or more strikeouts. That is plus 212. So some good little strikeout parlays and one little under the earned run parlay there with Sonny G and Ryan Pepiot on the strikeouts as well.
You know, I am curious, too, when I look at what Pittsburgh is doing. And I asked this question on Twitter yesterday. I'll ask it of you. Another great win for the Pirates. They've won five in a row. The two hottest teams right now in the senior circuit are the Buccos and the Fighting Fish down there in Miami. They've won eight in a row. But I was a little bit perplexed why they pulled Paul Skeens yesterday. 88 pitches, shutout going. So clearly it wasn't a pitch count issue. What'd you make of that after only five innings? And again, the bullpen does their job. They get a late run to get that 1-0 win. But what's the rationale there for pulling Skeens after 88 pitches with the shutout going?
Yeah, that's completely a decision within the dugout, I think. And, again, just looking at the weather, it wasn't just overly hot or humid or anything like that. You're watching kind of the late stages and just kind of one of those classic pitcher's duels, right? And,
yeah.
You know, just felt like, all right, maybe he's gone long enough. This is, we're trying to get him through and to stay healthy. But I'm with you, somewhat perplexed by it. But hey, all's well that ends well. The Pirates continue
amazing,
just a ridiculously good run right now. Absolutely.
All they had to do was host the Metropolitans and get a 3-game sweep, and now they're just off and running. What do we have today to wrap up with Wednesday? Maybe if we're not going yard, we can get some balls in some alleys and run for days.
Yeah, we're going gap to gap here, and just a couple of guys that have matched up pretty well against their respective starting pitchers today. Gunnar Henderson, down in the deep in the heart of Texas against Nathan Eovaldi. I was shocked when I saw this. He's had 8 at-bats against Nathan Eovaldi. He's got hits in 7 of them.
Wow.
6 for singles, 1 double. Bobby Witt Jr., and rarely do we go up against big-time aces here, but Bobby Witt Jr. has seen Logan Gilbert quite well, and he kind of needs it to get going a little bit. 5 for 11 with a home run to his name. Let's go this way, Dave. Let's go Gunner and Bobby Witt Jr. to each record a hit. That parlay is just a tick over even money. And then 2 or more total bases for each of the youngsters, plus .339. Nice little fun one right there to be able to go here later on tonight.
You know, and I'm looking up, and you mentioned with Bobby Witt Jr. and the Royals, and we kind of talked a little bit about it, that, you know, Jack Kags has not exactly been the elixir I think they thought for that offense, at least I thought it would be for that offense. They've really had that June swoon. They're now 6 games under .500 in Kansas City. Is this one of those deals that they really don't have? I mean, they got some veteran arms they could move if they wanted to, like a Michael Wacha potentially at the deadline. What do you think Kansas City does? Small market team, as we know. They probably not – there's no reason it would seem to buy at this stage, right, being 6 games back. I know they could still make a run in the wild card. But what do you make of a team that I think had much higher expectations at the beginning of the year, and now the reality sitting in – that maybe they're just not good enough offensively to really compete in the American League?
Yeah, this is a team we revisit, Dave, in probably 3 weeks.
Okay.
The All-Star break might – you talk about teams that cannot wait to get to the break, and perhaps Kansas City is one of them. Same exercise we did with Atlanta, right? They've got to get back to .500, although I don't know if that's happening anytime soon for Atlanta. 8 games under right now and behind the Marlins.
That's amazing.
By the way, if you were to roll over the Marlins on this current win streak of 8 wins, $100 rolled over on the money line, you'd be up $160,000.
That's it. Just
wow.
8 game. Who saw the fish getting off the deck? And it's amazing to look up now and see the Braves in 4th place, 3 games ahead of the Nationals in last place in the NL East. Wow, that was a little bit unexpected. If you want to bet smarter, we really can help you out with that each and every day with Smarter Insights by going to VEASAN.com. I think you should do it each and every morning. Have your coffee before you watch our show. Check out VEASAN.com. You're going to have access as a VEASAN Pro subscriber to the NFL betting guide. Hoops Peterson, not just Hoops, he's got you covered with his Major League Baseball best bets. Zachary Cohen has his Wimbledon selections. Remember, that's with a D, not a T, people. Steve Mackinnon's got his Major League Baseball analytics report. Tyler Shoemaker, his WNBA picks. And Wes Reynolds is going to join us here in hour number 3, his John Deere Classic preview. So again, you have access to all of these articles each and every day at VEASAN.com when you sign up today for just $175. And that will cover you all the way through next February. Yes, to the Super Bowl for just $175. So that NFL betting guide is out. No better time than the present. When we come back, got some issues in Miami and maybe help from a guy that said he was done. News, noise, next.
By the books, right here on VEASAN.
We are back, VEASAN by the books. Going to have Ryan Spielborgs join us at the top of hour number 3. Talk all things Major League Baseball. Does a great job, obviously, covering the Colorado Rockies. Jensen, I'm curious, and you don't have to peel back the curtain if you don't want to, of like your day after we're done with the show, when you already start looking ahead to tomorrow's games. Do you like... is there a time of the day you're going to have a cup of coffee, maybe a glass of red wine, and really start digging into those numbers? Like, how does that work for you?
Yeah. Okay. So day games a little bit easier. So you'll kind of understand where teams are after they're done. And then, you know, kind of when those numbers start coming out, I usually like to wait until I wake up in the morning, because then you can let some things settle overnight.
Yeah.
If there are roster moves or anything of that nature. So like that first look is right when we sign on, just to kind of get an idea of where some of the markets are. Starting pitchers, you know, dependent, maybe if you want to jump on, you know, early number. I know our great crew, VSiN Prime Time, and of course, Cashing Out, you know, they do, Greg does a fabulous job of just kind of getting those early looks.
Yeah.
To me, I just knowing the game, and it's completely individual, I like to be a little more patient on where some of the initial jumps in the market are, because as you well know, a lot of sharp people like to wait and play late.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I'll kind of make note early, and this is why we do leans versus official play, especially just giving people ideas like, okay, we lean this, not locking in just yet, kind of want to see if maybe money goes one way or the other, and that can kind of illuminate some things that maybe you didn't see earlier in the day.
Because I was stopped as I was leaving yesterday, and one of the fine employees here at Circa just said, excuse me, and I said, yes. And he says, how did you start getting into this? And I like had to stop and like really start to, and I was like, should I tell them about the football notebooks I kept in the 80s? Like the things you would do that you look back on to get you to where you are today. It is kind of fascinating, sure, to see how that process has worked. But literally, I kept football notebooks every year. Like, you're supposed to be doing your schoolwork, and I got, you know, Vikings +7 against the Niners in 1987. I mean, yeah, that was a problem child, I think, for that regard. Let's get to it right here and ask the very important question. Is this news or noise?
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise?
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise. This is noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
I think Darren Waller would have identified himself as a problem child earlier in his career. But I think now, maturity, right, we've seen kind of the way he's adjusted throughout his life and how it really, to a positive effect, in his football career. We saw it out here in Las Vegas where he really blossomed. And he went to the Giants in New York, and things didn't exactly work out, and then kind of abruptly retired. So we go, okay, well, Darren Waller's had enough, and this is it. How about this, Jensen? And I wonder if it's news or noise, because we saw what the Dolphins were doing, or maybe questioning what the Dolphins are doing. And again, if you're a beat reporter down there in Miami, you really had no time to sleep, because you saw that they traded away Jalen Ramsey. They traded away their tight end, Jonnu Smith, and they moved those guys to Pittsburgh. So you go, well, what are you going to do now at tight end? And I'll ask you the question, is this news or just noise that Darren Waller has come out of retirement as part of a sign and trade, and he will be the tight end in Miami? What do you make of that news?
Yeah, it is news, just because this is not a proverbial left field, is it not? I mean, it's certainly a guy that we didn't have circled at all. Was waiting for that first album to be able to drop in his rap career. But I guess it'd be rapping a different tune. Maybe they'll play his stuff in pregame warmups. I know we did that, or at least in 2012, Dave, when Trevor Bauer was in AAA with us in Reno and the Arizona organization, the Omaha Storm Chasers thought it'd be kind of funny. And this was in our PCL championship series. They thought it'd be funny and Trevor was dabbling as a potential rap artist. They played some of his tracks and they awoke the beast. Mm. So to each their own.
Yes.
Good luck. What is the impact here? I think we need to see what kind of football shape he's in. From a fantasy perspective, I don't think he's in any danger of really supplanting either Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle and making, you know, that offense, more three-dimensional that way. But I think just overall, David, I'll throw it back to you. Like, do we know what kind of, you know, shape he can be in? Couple of downs, a drive, like what are we actually getting out of Darren Waller here in Miami?
Well, here's the way I look at it. And we talk about this in context, say, of Giannis Antetokounmpo, and you get a Miles Turner, then you release a Dame Lillard. Like, do you have a plan? What's the plan? Right. So was this the Dolphins' plan? that if you're going to move Jonnu Smith, as they did, to Pittsburgh, who's going to play this position? And the reason why I think this position, people are probably going, why are you guys talking about Darren Waller and his impact, right? How important could this be? I think it could be really important if they're going to have any success this year. Jensen, the reason why I say this is their offensive line is not good. It is not good. So you're not going to have time, you would think theoretically, for these plays to develop down the field if you really want to push the football to your two roadrunners that you have on the outside. So if you can't get those guys the football, where does it have to go? It would have to go to a guy like Darren Waller. It would have to be a guy that's going to be running against linebackers, that's not necessarily going up against safeties and corners all the time. So to me, if you have any visions of grandeur in Miami, this has to be successful. And I know that sounds crazy. You're banking on a guy coming literally off the streets, back from home, like we saw Joe Flacco do a couple years ago when he's out of the league. Darren Waller's out of the league, and now he's going to be a guy that you're going to have to depend on. So in the betting market, is that where I want to put, like, the Dolphins? With that offensive line, this is what we're going to trust this offense to look like? They're trusting it. Mike McDaniel's trusting it. I don't know that I can, Jensen. So to me, like, I'm rooting for the guy, and he looked great out here in Las Vegas, and he looked like he was going to the Hall of Fame for a short time. And then not exactly sure what happened with the Giants. It didn't work out there. So to me, if you're just looking X's and O's, this is a major deal. Because if it doesn't work, you already saw Tyreek Hill putting out the gif of, you know, where is everybody? Like, you're now Tyreek Hill, this is who you're looking at. You're looking at Darren Waller to come off the street and unretire and be your big play tight end. I don't know if that's a good strategy, Jensen, but that's where they're going with.
Yeah, Farrell Brown must not have really given them a lot of hope once Jonnu Smith was on his way out. So I feel bad for him coming in there. I was thinking from fantasy football purposes, do you wait and like not, you know, overspend on a tight end and maybe wait and pick him up like in a 11th or 12th round? You just thinking,
yes.
I was thinking more like fantasy football implications,
yes,
here, because of where we know some of those other tight ends will go quite earlier than he will.
But if we're just being objective and being honest, you've got a quarterback that's been hit way too much in recent years. So the ball has to come out of his hands. And sometimes that's the knock on Tua, is that he's trying to get those bigger plays down the field. And you can understand why when you have the talent that you have on the outside, right? But if you don't have an offensive line that's going to be able to hold up, and there's no indication that this offensive line, they're going in with 2025. I saw graded as one of the worst in the league. So that means a ball's got to come out quickly.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm picking up what you're putting down. It might, like, plus 650 to win the East. No chance I would take a shot at that, right? To make the playoffs, 7.5 win total. I don't know what I'd want any part of that. But if you wanted it from a fantasy football perspective, I could get on board with Darren Waller, because I got to think they're throwing a lot of hot routes to Darren Waller to get the ball physically out of Tua's hands. I'm picking up what you're putting down there. That might be the only way that this move could be actionable in any fantasy and or gambling perspective.
I was just thinking from daily fantasy, like, is he the free square, you know, in week one against the Colts, knowing that, is that a back and forth game by chance in your mind, now that we've seen kind of the line move as well?
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, this is Devon Achain, you know, is going to get a boatload of looks here, both in carries and potential screens out of the backfield. So anxious to see. Mike McDaniel has been a wizard in a lot of different offensive ways. Wonder what he's got cooked up now with Darren Waller in the fold.
45.5 is that total. My look today is to the under. I'm looking under, Jensen. I just think they're well, maybe the defenses are terrible, but I just don't know how good these offenses are. And we're going back 2 years
ago.
That's
true.
When Mike McDaniel, he had the greatest offense on, right? This is a revolutionary offense, and nobody's ever going to be able to stop it when they put up 1,000 points on Denver that day. Since then, so I'll be curious to see if this offensive line can hold up. By the way, the betting guide will get into things just like that. So we're going to preview each and every team, all 32 teams, by all of our hosts here at the network. Player props, projections. Right now, sign up at VSiN.com/subscribe. $175. That covers you all the way through the Super Bowl next February. So no better time than the present. Talking baseball with Ryan Spielborg's top of hour number three.